Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Yes! Just hits different during hockey season. Sure does. We're talking hockey tonight, everybody. We've got Badgers to talk about. We've got River Kings to talk about. We will have plenty more to get to as well. NFL action, want to touch on that. We'll look at the college and NFL schedules for the weekend. I'll get into all of those things. But before I get too far ahead of myself, your host James here with you. I am joined by my partner in art, in sports, my man Seth Hapager.
Good afternoon.
My main
evening.
Man.
It seems like evening now. I guess I should say evening. It's after 5. So
yeah. I love seeing this sunset. I saw the sunrise this morning, seeing the sunset.
I'm loving it.
It's beautiful. We got an amazing view from right here at the WFHR studios, right over by our roundabout. Be sure to stop on by sometime. We love seeing all y'all. We, of course, appreciate our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Just talked to Phil a little while ago.
That's right, yeah.
His ears are burning today a lot. But we appreciate them sponsoring the hour here. And phone lines are wide open. I feel like in order to be an official sports show, do we need, like, and the, you know, Acme phone line is wide open. Like,
we need a sponsorship for our phone line?
Hey, businesses out there, we need a sponsor. We need a sponsor for the phone line. Make it real official. The Acme phone line is wide open.
The Acme phone line.
715. Great business.
Yeah,
great
right.
company.
You know.
I don't buy their products.
No.
I watched this cartoon when I was a kid, and man, this poor coyote could never get a good product from Acme.
I saw this documentary about the Acme company, and always bad things happen.
You don't see a lot of documentaries in cartoon. You don't see that a lot, but we did with the coyote and the roast.
It was meep meep, and that was it.
Roadrunner and Coyote. I didn't have that on my Playmakers bingo card this
Not
early
today.
In the show. Phone lines are open, everybody. 715-424-2600. Want to kick off getting into a little bit, actually, baseball talk.
Ooh.
Because these feel like, during this time of year, this feels like the only time when we can talk baseball, is these few moments and breaths in between football or basketball or any other sport going on right now. And certainly, for those baseball aficionados out there, those baseball fans, I imagine that most of you know that this is hot stove season.
Man. This is fun. I love hot stove.
It's
one of my favorite things. Yeah,
absolutely. Since I was a little kid, I have loved the hot stove season. I appreciate this time of year. I would imagine that most people out there by now, if you're like Seth and I, and more so Seth than me because his brain really understands baseball and knows a lot more about it, you probably have heard where the term hot stove comes from. That's where I want to go.
Okay, I'm going to start with the hot stove etymology. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I have an idea. I don't know if it's true, though. I just heard like a legend. I don't know if it's true.
The term hot stove comes from early days of baseball when fans would gather around a literal hot stove during the winter to discuss their favorite teams. In the early days of baseball, players would stay in shape by playing in their hometowns during the offseason while staying warm by playing around hot stoves.
Wow.
These leagues were known as the hot stove leagues.
Okay. So it's kind of a double thing there. Yeah, they could be the fans or the players. That's cool.
In the 19th century, fans would gather around that hot stove to discuss baseball as well. The term hot stove became kind of a predecessor to the water cooler, where people would gather to discuss that topic.
Right.
And it dates back to the 19th century and everything. And then
that
eventually, baseball took that time of year as well to have their winter meetings.
Right.
So they really got the idea of the winter meetings and where to have them from the hot stove.
Well, that's interesting.
It all comes from that.
Right. Wow. And of course, for those who don't know, of course, that's the winter meetings are the big, all the teams and their executives get together to talk about, you know, the season coming up rules. But it's also for the wheeling dealing time.
Yeah.
Lots of trades happen there. Some free agent signings because all the agents are there as well, the player agents. So it's kind of a big time for the hot stove is during the winter meetings, which makes sense. Hot stove, winter meetings, you know, that's right. Even though they usually spend it in like Florida.
Right, right.
Or Phoenix, or somewhere in Southern California or something.
Or like this year at Jerry World at Dallas, Texas, where I think it was last year and everything. December 8th through the 12th, the baseball meetings will be going on.
It'll be more exciting than what's at the football field, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, for the most
part.
Yeah. Let's get into some of that, because our certainly the team where we broadcast here in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Brewers, have already gotten ahead of the, have gotten early on the jump on this one. They've gotten a jump start on the, I would say, the hot stove offseason. Winter's still letting a lot of people know we are declining Devin Williams' club option at $10 million. Jeff Passan reported this just last week.
Okay.
So he'll receive a buyout. And then there is the move where they picked up Freddy Peralta amid
his option. Yeah,
they picked up his option. Wow. And a club option on Eric Hassa. Hassa also remains with the organization and is in arbitration eligible.
Okay.
The Brewers' decision to decline the option on Williams means the 30-year-old will make whatever an arbitrator decides unless the pitcher and the team work out a deal, which is more than likely.
Yes.
Yeah. He will be playing for another team next year, more than likely.
Yeah.
There is a lot of talk about them going after Pete Alonso. There's been a lot of word about
that. First, ladies and gentlemen.
And if you were listening for the past year, yeah, you had that ahead of time. Seth has had that.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And been telling you this. I don't know why you guys don't listen to us more.
But he would be like the perfect player. Not only for, you know, his power, because, you know, Amfam Field, good for home runs, right? Good home run hitting park. And his whole demeanor, man. He is fit. He would fit in so perfectly in the Midwest. Milwaukee would embrace the polar bear, man. They would embrace him.
Now, 3-4 years ago, I would have said, well, they got Rhys Hoskins and everything. What are they going to do at first? But with the DH position now and everything, this fits.
Yeah.
This fits pretty well.
Yep.
You do have the issue with Christian Yelich still, if you were looking to move him to DH eventually.
Right.
But that's a good problem to have.
Right.
Having too many first basemen, having too many DHs or what have you, you can't have enough bats.
Right.
What has been one of the main issues for Milwaukee over many years, like a lot of teams, not just Milwaukee, but runs. You know, you got to score. And they haven't been able to do it as much. You get a pretty Alonso in there.
Right.
You know, you can keep the pieces you already have. I'm not talking about Willie Adames. Look, I don't mind Willie Adames. I like him as a player. And if he re-signed with the Brewers, that's awesome. But I do think that what you had in Willie Adames is lightning in a bottle in contract year.
Yeah,
you had a guy going into a contract year and knew it. I don't know that you're going to see those numbers next year.
No.
You might see similar numbers, but I don't think you're going to see not only those numbers, that energy. We didn't see it before the contract year. We didn't really see it. We saw it in spurts, and we certainly saw it on defense and on base running and everything. But the hitter, we didn't see. Maybe he keeps that going. I hope he does. Wherever, if he's in Arizona, I don't care. Yeah. I wish him well. But if I'm a businessman, I got to decide these things. And I'm looking at Willie Adames. I'm looking at Devin Williams. And I'm looking at that cap that I've got.
It's not really a cap, but yeah.
You know what I mean.
Your own self-imposed cap, yeah. A lot of owners do that.
even if I can't, maybe I don't land Pete Alonso, and I'm just using Pete Alonso as an example. You can insert any free agency names you want into this.
Yep.
I want the chance to be able to go after them, and I want to prove to my fan base, look, we're willing to open up the checkbook.
Yes.
And we still use a checkbook. No.
it's weird to say, like, I'm going to whip out the credit card. No, see, that doesn't, the checkbook
I'll
sounds better.
Venmo you? Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't sound as good.
Bring up the Venmo app.
And the Brewers have also proven this, not just are trying to prove this to their fan base. They've already proven it to MLB at large, as Matt Arnold was selected as MLB Executive of the Year.
Yes.
Congrats to him.
You know,
the
most boring award, but still, it's good. If it's your guy that was picked, that's good, though.
You know what? It's the most boring award, but I, as a White Sox fan right now, would almost rather my team win that award than an MVP.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me how crazy I am.
No.
Go right ahead, 715-424-2600.
Right.
But what I wouldn't give for a well-run franchise that's just trying to, maybe they don't win at all, but my God, they're competitive every year.
Right.
And you can root for that team. What am I, like, I'm looking at the team like right now, and they're flirting with Nashville, and I'm wondering, well, should I be upset about that or not?
Yeah, right.
Spoiler alert, I am.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about it. I'm trying to joke through it, but I would say, hey, give me that award over giving me an MVP. Plenty of teams have an MVP who don't win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers are one of those teams that have had an MVP and haven't won a World Series.
Exactly.
I'd much rather have the executive of the year.
I would rather have the group of players that gets me there than that the one brilliant player. But I mean, yeah.
Taking a bigger perspective on this, and you know, there's a great article at ESPN.com. Dave Schoenfield, a good ESPN writer over there, does. Or they're kind of looking at what are the bold predictions, what are the big things that we can look at in baseball. He has for the Brewers here. The Brewers win the National League Central. How is that bold? That's what they do. That's just what they do in Milwaukee.
I mean, they got this great, you know, this young core. You know, Jackson Churio, they've got Bryce Terang, they've got these really nice young players, they got some good veterans on there, you know, Rhys Hoskins, maybe Pete Alonso, you know, that kind of stuff. They've got some good starting pitching. It looks like they're going to have to do a little work with their bullpen, which, I mean, every team has to do that, basically. Yeah. But they got a good foundation. You're right. I don't think it would be that surprising if they won the Central again.
They picked out 16 of 26 preseason votes to win the NL Central again next year. And this is before any moves have been made anything done. They're actually less than they were last year because they have these players that are already off the team, everybody knows.
Right.
So, and they're still predicting them to win it. Yeah.
Solid team.
This is nothing against the Brewers. I think it does say a little bit about the Central as well. I don't know if it's as good as we thought it was. No. I think it's got a lot of nice pieces, and we got some teams like... I don't know. I don't really like the Cincinnati Reds. They've had a lot of players over the years that I've liked, but I'm not a fan necessarily of that team, in part because of the ownership usually. It's hard not to keep an eye on them and not to pull a little bit for them right now with their manager.
Terry Francona. Tito.
I like Tito. I like him. I like him as a manager, and I'm kind of excited for him to be in the NL Central. Mm-hmm. I like him in our division. I like him in there. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting in the National League Central this year because you've got Cincinnati, who now has a very experienced coach, manager, all the talent. I mean, they got so much talent. You've got Pittsburgh, who's got some of the worst ownership in the league.
Yeah,
but they also have one of the best pitchers in the league with Paul Skeens. Can we build around Paul Skeens? I don't know. The Cubs, you can't count them out. The Cubs can always, they've got the pocketbook, speaking of money.
Yeah.
They can always sign some names, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, it'll be okay. And then the Cardinals, I know they've had 2 years in a row, they haven't been so good, but how long can you count them out?
Oh, yeah.
You can't. You really can't.
And I think I've joked with Michael about this. If I haven't, I've meant to. Honestly, the Cardinals are that team. They're the boogeyman. The monster at the end of the movie where you think they're dead. And boom, they're right back up.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you thought you got rid of me.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. They almost did it last year. There was a point in last
year.
There
was a time.
And I thought it was actually kind of funny because my team isn't in that division and everything. When I see that happening where the Cardinals win 5 out of 10 or 5 out of 6 or something.
Yeah,
like
right.
And everything.
On a little streak.
You immediately see everybody in that division like just getting a little bit tighter. Just getting a little,
no, not the Cardinals.
That's all they did last year. Really had was like a week or two where they were pretty competitive, and they certainly had a decent season even without getting into the playoffs and everything. Not by Cardinal standards,
no.
But I would say by White Sox standards,
or like most of the rest of the league. Yeah,
yeah. Michael had an interesting point. I think it was off air the last Wednesday. They're looking. It does look like they may move Contreras to first base.
Yes. That's where it's headed. Are they going to mess him up? I don't know. They signed him, it's been weird. They've done he's not catching anymore. He's only DHing. And when they started freaking out, 2 years ago, when they suddenly went on this big losing streak, and they started blaming him for their pitching staff. It's like, whoa.
It's weird to me when they sign somebody and it doesn't work.
That's true.
I don't know. It's going to be a while before that changes. I'm sure that, especially Michael, a fan of the team, could tell me, well, this guy didn't work out. But to me, whoever they sign just seems to work out.
Right.
And they seem to get guys that are not only fit that team in that city, but fit winning.
Right now, another surprise. I was convinced that someone was going to hire Skip Schumacher as a manager. Nope. He went and took a front office job. Which was really interesting.
What happened with that? Where did he sign?
I can't even remember where he signed, noticed today he took a front office job. And I was like, oh, well, that's fascinating. I really thought someone would really be going after him hard for a manager job.
I got I wonder if it's about, I'm a young guy. Maybe I don't need that stress in my life. or the money, certainly.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see where he...
Yeah, yeah. He went somewhere, but I can't remember where it was. Anyway,
okay. I haven't seen anything yet here, but I'll keep looking. One thing that I do know is that eventually he'll be a manager again.
He will get a
job somewhere again.
Someone will make him an offer. Yeah.
And I want to wrap up a little baseball talk. Now, we could certainly talk more baseball if you want to. Call up 715-424-2600. You have the power to shut me up at any point, everybody.
There's no Packers this week, you know, no Badger football this week. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing?
I love, this could not have happened, but I love the idea if the NFL and NCAA were like, you know what, let's give Wisconsin a week off of football during election week. Let's just let, you've had enough stresses. Let's just go ahead and let you guys relax this weekend. Go ahead and just enjoy.
That being that swing state thing, man, so rough.
Watch some hockey. Watch some hockey. A nice relaxing sport like hockey. Support your River Kings. I want to actually go to I have two stats of the show today. Okay. I want to get to. We'll have one after our break. But for right now, I want to talk a little bit about Jim Cott.
Kitty, yes.
I happened to see, and I didn't get to watch all of it, but Kitty to Cooperstown. This,
oh.
Amazing documentary. This really wonderful one. It came out just recently. It's about Jim Cott's 8 decades in baseball have been full of wit and knowledge as a player, coach, and broadcaster. His love of the game begins in rural America and comes to full circle in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Induction in 2022. And this is a love letter in some ways to his career. But it's also the work that was done to try to get him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Really ridiculous. Really insane. Now, I don't know. I'm not a baseball historian, but mm-hmm. I know a little bit. And I was blown away. Like, I've heard the name. And I've known mm-hmm. him, and like a lot of people of our generation, knew more of his broadcaster than as a player.
Yep.
But I wasn't dumb to his playing career. Yep. I understood that he was a good player, and then I looked at his stats and his career, and I really broke it down, and I really got into it. And dear God, why was he not in the Hall of Fame? And can you call it a Hall of Fame if he wasn't in it?
The nice thing about time is we get different ideas of what makes a Hall of Famer. You know, we can have someone like Sandy Koufax, who was brilliant. I mean, the best pitcher in baseball for six straight years, and then has to retire because of injuries. But he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. He needs to be up because of his brilliance in those 6 years.
Yeah.
And then you've got someone like Jim Cott, who pitched for 25 years.
25 years. That is my number, 25.
25 years. And he was one of the best fielding pitchers of all time. He won like 16 gold gloves or some ridiculous number like that. Mm-hmm. He started early in his career, and later on he became a reliever. He was in a couple of World Series. You know, I mean, I think you do. You have to reward someone. Regardless, I mean, he had some good stats. He had a couple of 20-win seasons. You know, he was a really good left-hander. But sometimes you have to reward more than just the stats. Just the ability to stay in the league for that long and be effective is remarkable.
I will only piggyback on that. I agree with all that. Mm-hmm. I will only piggyback on that being one of the original players, one of the early players, I mean, one of the mm-hmm. trailblazers. I think you could make an argument, whether you're talking any major sport, the first players, the first guys, that first mm-hmm. group of players, the first decade of players, if you will, could all be inducted into Hall of Fames.
Right.
Because none of us are here talking about these, yes. making a career off of talking about sports or the many jobs and millions and billions of dollars right. that is in sports without these early players. A lot of people I look up to in this industry, they will make comments often about how, well, you can't take, if you put this player back and then they would blow people away. LeBron back in the 40s and 50s would destroy Wilt Chamberlain and all these players and everything. And I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but I also think you sound like a child. Do you not understand yeah. how this works?
No.
Like, of course that would mm-hmm. happen. Of course, we don't get LeBron without those early players. Mm-hmm. So the idea of discounting championships or that's like you're becoming the NCAA. You're vacating wins that we all see. We all saw them win mm-hmm. championships. And I don't mean that like, obviously saw them with our right. own eyes. Right. I'm not that old. But we know. We know that history tells us that Green Bay and Chicago won so many championships before the NFL merged. That in basketball, these things happened before the AFL, mm-hmm. NBA and
the ABA and all the other things. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Too many initials.
Yeah, way too many letters.
Don't tell me those things don't count just because the athletes weren't where they are now. Like, what are you doing? You don't also get to do that. Who are you? And how much do you think of yourself? Well, I've studied sports, or I went to school and I graduated from this and everything. Miss me with all that. Yeah. I don't care. I respect that. But you lose me at the idea of these championships don't count because blank. Did they win?
Yes.
What is sports about? winning. It is not about, there's not an asterisk who won the 1989 World Series. Well, they didn't play a team that was as good as this 2024 Dodgers, so it doesn't count. What the what, man? You don't get to do that. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah, the game was different. Everything was, it's different. There, it's almost apples and oranges.
There's a lot of people I look up to and I admire that will have thoughts like that, and I wonder, why do I look up to them? Why, like, what are you doing?
Stop that.
You mentioned the fielding with Mr. Cott, mm-hmm. and I think that's noteworthy, along with 283 wins, a 3.45 ERA, 625 games started. 625 games started.
No one is even going to approach that, by the way, in this day and age. Never.
And out of all of those, 180 of them complete games. Named to three All-Stars. But yep. I thought that one of my favorite players and one of my favorite stats, mm-hmm. Which I've actually been hanging on to for baseball season to get into for a stat of the show, but I'm going to do right now because it just segues too good into it. I thought that Cott would have had this record.
Okay.
Mark Burley, one of my all-time favorite pitchers, mm-hmm. and certainly one of my all-time favorites, like top five favorite White Sox mm-hmm. of all time. Burley won his second career Gold Glove Award in November of 2010. He is the only pitcher in MLB history to win multiple Gold Gloves and throw multiple no-hitters. I would have thought that Cott would have done that, too. Back in 2011, he won his third Gold Glove in a Fielding Bible Award as well. I don't know if a lot of people
I don't even know what that is. I've never even heard of that. I like it, though. It sounds good.
Just one more reason why it is insane that Mark Burley is not in the Hall of Fame. No, it actually makes a lot of sense. But I think he belongs in the
Man,
Hall of Fame.
He needs to be in the Hall of Fame just for that play he made.
Oh, yeah.
The between the legs flip to Paul Konerko. That's still one of my favorite all-time plays.
Seth, it plays in my head. So often during this time of year. Before we go to break, I do want to talk a little River Kings because they are in action tonight.
They are.
River Kings are playing tonight, and Seth's going to be covering that one for you, taking on the Northwest Express. Mike and Seth will be covering that mm-hmm. for you, actually.
It's going to be fabulous. Man, I know, James, last time, you know, the home opening weekend, you went to the opening game, and I wasn't, obviously, I was here, but it sounded like that place was rocking.
It was so wonderful to see not only a huge turnout. That
yes.
wasn't, honestly, I'll be, make this light of that or mm-hmm. anything, but I wasn't too surprised. It's the first home opener right. of the season mm-hmm. and everything. It was the energy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to build that kind of stuff usually. Not here. This, it felt like that crowd was waiting since last year's last home game and the mm-hmm. and the buzzer went for this moment. It was so cool to see. There's this really cool vibe that you get at River Kings games that you wouldn't get in an NHL game. There is so much going on. And I love NHL games. I've gone to many games at the United Center. I've seen the Blackhawks play a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's, I've loved every single moment. And I've seen them lose, actually, more than win. And I've still enjoyed myself. It's a great place to see a game.
Yep.
But with this, you're getting into the game and you're cheering on the team while at the same time there are kids playing around. There are friends catching up. Like it's got both. It's mm-hmm. got this great energy of a hockey and this hockey energy while also being a great place to go and take the family. I do want to remind everybody, you know, hockey, look, we're all adults in a hockey game, like even 8-year-olds. but, you know, watch your language. There was somebody there that was acting like a fool, and I would have said something if I was a different guy. If it was me 20 years ago,
right?
It ain't my place anymore to do those things. But I was this close, man. I was so close. Act like an adult.
There's a lot of families there. Let's keep this in perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And have fun and enjoy the winning road that is going on with the Kings. For those that didn't get a chance to catch the Kings last night, 4-1 victory over the Dells Ducks. Mm. Nice one by them. And once again, 31 shots on goal. That is what we're looking for. That
wow.
is, I would say 30 plus is the magic number of shots on goal for your Kings.
Right.
And in comparison, the Dells had 35, which is a little high usually mm-hmm. for Kings, the way they play defense and everything. You've got a team that is early on in the season feeling it. They're feeling
they
it
really
right
seem
now.
To be. Yeah.
They've got a good energy. And as I will keep reminding our audience, because we haven't been in this position that often from time to time, but not that often. We got a winning franchise. We're celebrating mm-hmm. 10 years of Kings hockey.
That's great.
We've had some great 10 years here, not a lot of down years. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
We're the hunted now. They're coming for us.
Yep.
It means something to beat the Kings. They're marking us on their calendars, and nobody knows that better than this team and their coaching staff.
Yep.
And they're playing like it.
Yeah, being on the other side, they've had to do the hunting, but now that's a little, the script has changed.
You want to come for the King, you best not miss. And we got a lot of people missing right now. We got a lot of people missing.
Yeah.
Kings are going to look to continue that winning streak tonight on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, 7 o'clock, River Kings hosting the Northwest Express.
Yes.
Mike and Seth covering that for you. If you can make it to the rink, go right ahead.
Please show them. We encourage you to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Show them what home ice advantage is and everything. We love being able to fill that up. And people know that they're coming to Rapids. They know that they got to put their earplugs in. Like they know that it's going to be a rough crowd and a loud crowd.
Loud
and
crowd.
So we encourage you to go ahead. And if you can't make it there, we got you covered.
Yeah,
Help us help the boys of Winter build hockey up and down the river all season long right here at not only 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, but of course our sister station 105.5 WIRI, where we play their home games all season long.
All season long.
Able to do that thanks to some great sponsors out there. Well, one of them happens to be Quality Plus. How do you like that?
That's
coming right
perfect.
Up. Oh, we got to plan these things out. That worked out really good.
Somehow it worked.
We'll be back with more Playmakers here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James hanging out with you this Friday afternoon, Friday edition of the show, wrapping up the week. A couple of quick notes, little corrections. So not really. We just didn't know. Skip Schumacher has joined the Texas Rangers baseball ops as a senior advisor.
Okay.
There we go.
They're getting all kinds of former players. They got Chris Young as their GM or Pobo. I can't remember if he's their Pobo or GM. Either way, they got some smart players, former players in Texas. I think they're going to do a lot better next year. I really do.
It's really hard to be, if they don't turn into a MASH unit. You know, I mean, that's all it's been over there lately.
Right.
I can't, even that team that won the World Series was full.
They had a lot of injuries, yeah.
And they're not the only ones, certainly. That is just one of the... There is no bigger problem in sports than health.
Yeah.
There is no bigger problem. players, contracts, all these other things, nothing is bigger in sports than not being able to keep your stars on the field, no matter what sport we're talking about.
It's killing my fantasy football team. Jeez.
I hear you. I want to talk a little football with everybody and get into my stat of the show for this one. And not only does it come with a stat of the show, it comes with a hot take.
I like the hot takes.
Yes,
juicy takes.
Now a lot of people don't know this. They don't work in media and everything. But in order to call ourselves a sports show, we have to have so many hot takes a week. Otherwise, they will take us off the air.
We have a quota system that we have to meet.
And we always want your help with that, everybody. Your hot takes count. Your hot takes count.
We love the hot takes.
Call up 715-424-2600. I am prepared to say that Ja'Marr Chase is the greatest wide receiver in football. And it's not even close.
Really?
And
that's a hot take.
And I think Justin Jefferson is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jefferson's route running, his eyes, his connection with a quarterback that he's known for a week, and that could be multiple guys we could be talking about,
right.
And going back to college, incredible wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his LSU teammate that I think is the better player and the better going – I don't want to say going to have the better career or anything like that. I'm giving you an opinion, a take. So, of course, it can be wrong, but it also – it's mine. And you can say what yours is out there. I want to hear your takes. Go ahead and get them to us, everybody. It's really easy to say this after last night.
It was an amazing game.
Where Ja'Marr Chase caught 11 passes for 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also had 193 yards during an overtime loss to the Ravens in Week 5, giving a total of 457 receiving yards in 2 games. That is an NFL record.
That's got to be.
That's an NFL
record.
Got to
be a record.
For a wide receiver, most yards against a team in a season.
Yep.
Nobody's ever done anything like that. Ja'Marr also broke other records in that game.
Mm-hmm.
That you can single season NFL records, at least. Nothing too crazy. He also, though, hurt his team by doing something by what a lot of people are saying it was showboating, but it was actually him not misunderstanding the clock a little bit.
Mm.
But law cost his team a couple seconds there, so I want to cover all bases here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's perfect, and no player is.
Right.
But if I've got to, okay, hey, you can have any wide receiver in the NFL, before you even finish that sentence, I am saying Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. I'm a huge Roma Duse fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love that young man. I love his game. I just mentioned Justin Jefferson, which if that's your counter, if that's your second prize, wow, not so bad.
And you would get an argument from a lot of people that Jefferson is the best.
Easily.
I mean, and before this season, Tyreek Hill would usually be in that, but with what happened with Tua, boy, he disappeared, and which means can he be the best if he doesn't have the right, you know, guy in there? I mean, it helps for Ja'Marr Chase to have a Joe Burrow, no question about it, having one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But yeah, I think it's his stock has gone down. Tyreek Hill, I mean, has gone down a little bit because of the non-production when Tua's not in the lineup.
And age has played into that a little bit, too.
That's true, too.
You know, it always gets said, well, how good is this quarterback if he's got these weapons? I think the same can be said for a receiver oftentimes.
How good is the quarterback?
This is where I think Justin Jefferson steps up above anybody else, where it doesn't matter
the quarterback.
We don't know really what Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to college even some ways. He was good in college before Joe Burrow, but even with he worked with Burrow, of course, at LSU.
Yes.
Maybe the greatest offense we've ever seen in college football. Mm-hmm. But it's all of these things, the numbers, all that stuff. What I'm focused on is one of the most important things in a wide receiver's resume. Yak. And one of the best things to say in football, yak. What is his yards after catch?
Yep.
And not just yards after catch. What does he do with the ball when he catches it? What do you expect? What do you think he can do? And there are very few wide receivers in NFL history that the second he is a wide receiver when he lines up, where he lines up, his attitude when he is lining up.
Mm-hmm.
The second he catches the ball, he becomes a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just in the way he plays, in the hits he can take, and all those things. It is his acceleration,
yep.
His stop and start acceleration,
yep.
His ability to pull away from corners that are running 4.3, 4.4s at the combine, and he's pulling away from them when they've got a head start, mm-hmm. when they know where he wants to go, and they still can't stop him. Like, Justin Jefferson does some stuff that is so amazing when it comes to contested catches and mm-hmm. his hands,
yep.
Getting away from a corner. So many things that, again, I don't have any problem. I can't really argue with you if you say he's the best in football.
Right.
But I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Because I think that what Ja'Marr Chase does is just such a difference maker. It is so different than what these guys do. It's everything we talked about with Tyreek Hill in his prime.
Right. It's what they generally, I think, is referred to as explosiveness. And you know, which is perfect. Encapsulated by yards after catch, especially for wide receivers. Is it possible they have like the two fastest guys in the NFL on the Bengals with Chase Brown?
Yeah.
Because
I think
Chase Brown is like also an insanely fast guy.
Xavier Worthy in Kansas City is insanely fast.
Yeah, he's fast too.
When Malik Nabers is healthy, there's a couple. But those, yeah, you're right. You made the argument.
Yep.
We also are joined on Fridays by our good friend Michael Comer. Michael, how you doing?
Doing all right. You guys forgot to mention my name in the speed aspect when I get called to supper.
Darn it. I knew. I always do this when I'm talking.
It's all about motivation.
You know, I don't think these things through, and I miss a name. I apologize, Michael. I am really sorry for that.
And James, you remember what we talked about off the air about motivation and AC/DC?
Yes. Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute here. I say best wide receiver in football, or you're running an NFL team. You can pick any wide receiver to start your team. Who are you picking?
As of right now?
Yeah.
I'm probably going Jefferson.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't.
Totally
really
legit.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that your choice?
I would probably go Jefferson too. Yeah, I would.
I would say Jefferson or maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I love that.
Oh,
guy.
That's another
love
good
that
name
player.
To put
love
in there.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great name. Doesn't get mentioned enough.
Yep.
It is nice to see he's starting to get flowers. He's starting to get some cred and everything as Detroit gets better. And Michael, that is one thing I want to get into before we get into River Kings hockey with you. And our course, NFL Central, the North, the greatest division in football. when it comes to that, Detroit has. Detroit has done something in the last couple of years that I think only those of us that really are focused, locked in for the last 20, 30 years, whatever it is, to this division. Detroit isn't just good now. Okay, that's been cool to see. I'm kind of used to that now. Detroit has not, they were a darling for a while. That's different. They are what our River Kings are now. They are the hunted. Detroit has become the hunted. Detroit has become where these players on this team are not just known by us. Amon St. Brown is doing commercials for Little Caesars. They're known now. Mm-hmm. They're not only the hunted, they're popular. They have become a bit of not America's team. They're not that far along.
Yep.
But they have become a known.
Green Bay, no.
Yeah. They become known more now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That's almost as good as winning. It's not as good. But if you're trying to run, this is still a business. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to sell jerseys. You got to be able to get your players into commercials, all these things. Detroit has done that. And they did it without Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson. That's impressive.
During our football lifetimes, who would have thunk? Yeah. Who would have thunk?
It didn't surprise me to see the Arizona Cardinals have a good year or two. It didn't surprise me to see certain teams like that. But to see Detroit, that has been dormant our whole lives and before we were even born, that is pretty cool. I know that we all got a stake in this.
Yeah,
all three of us got a team in this division,
right?
And we care about winning the division, and winning means everything to us, and blah blah blah. Mm. If just take a step back. That's kind of cool. And a rising tide raises all boats. It helps everybody in the division. Yeah. If you want your team to be competitive, if they're worth anything and their front office is worth anything, they're seeing what Detroit is doing and they're trying to compete with it. And that makes your team better.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't like this or like Detroit being good, it benefits your team because a rising tide raises all boats.
I think that's true.
Did anybody have this in their lifetime ever happening?
I don't think I did.
I didn't have this happening.
I have a Detroit Lions T-shirt, and I barely can fit into it now. But that's a me problem. But it was the 2008 year when they went 0-16, and like the Jerry Kramer commercial. Yeah, I was there. I was at the game at the end of the year when Green Bay went 6-10, and Detroit went 0-16.
Oh,
and the shirts, the blue. And on the front, it says 2008 preseason champions, but they went 4-0 in that preseason. And on the back, it says believe in never. And then I had the four games against who they played and the scores. And on the bottom, it says rebuilding since 1956.
Wow!
I still proudly, if I can wear it, if I can fit in it, I still proudly wear that because I still got a. It's the reason why I still wear my shirt next week for a full 7 days. The Bears still suck. That's why I wear that shirt every day.
They do still suck, or
my Minnesota shirt, it's purple, it's got the yellow letters, and it says skull, and like it's in the dictionary, and it says Norse for maybe next year.
Ooh, not bad. I like that one. I'm going to use it.
That is a good one.
This is football. This is what football is all about.
Right.
Detroit's also the one laughing now. If I'm a Detroit fan and I see that T-shirt, I'm laughing harder than you are, Michael.
They're good about it.
Yeah.
They're the best team in. I cannot think of another team in the NFC that's better than them right now.
I don't know if there's a better team in football right now.
Are they? I've been hearing Chief Killer. This is what I've been hearing from a couple of people.
It isn't just building they talk about, okay, a coach is going to come in and rebuild the culture and rebuild the coaching staff and rebuild the players and all of that. You don't see it happen that often. It's actually happening. We're watching it in real time. Mm-hmm. This guy came in, I actually kind of like Mike McDaniel in Miami, but not that guy. The offensive guru that comes in, the Matt LaFleur, somebody like that. It's not your cookie cutter coach that everybody's taking in now. There was a string there where they kept hiring college coaches. They had a string there a little while ago where they're hiring anybody who had coffee with McVay.
Now it's Shanahan.
Yeah.
I said hi to him once. Yeah, you're hired.
He doesn't fit any of that. Mm-mm. None of this makes sense on paper, but it's working, and it's working really well, and it's consistent, and it's something they might be able to build on for multiple years. They may have actually turned this whole ship around. It gives hope to some other franchises out there. Dear God, please.
Except for Carolina.
And not at all. Yeah, yeah.
Except Carolina's a lost cause, but anyway.
Carolina is going to need the ghost of Cam Newton or something. I don't know. Michael, how have you been enjoying calling River Kings hockey so far this season?
The two times I did it, it was fun. You are your own worst critic, with myself and you with what you do. And Seth, of course, you sit there and you listen to what you do, or you listen to a rebroadcast or snippets, and you're like, I could have done that better. I wish I would have not done that. Or man, that was actually pretty cool, which things I never really say, but you get my... I listened to a little bit of both broadcasts, and I made a clear, Seth, I know, heard it. This is my first time broadcasting this year's team.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a kind of a crash course in pronunciations.
Yes.
And I'm still learning the numbers. So yep. I know I butchered a few of them, and I've been working on it the last couple of weeks, so I should do better this time. But, it's fast, furious action.
It really is.
Learning it, it's kind of like when I shoot photography with these games. you anticipate it, and you got to think, well, if this, then that, and that's that's what I go for. And you know, I was doing a bunch of homework on this matchup here, and it's a lot of this and that.
It's probably, in my opinion, calling hockey is probably the hardest, especially for radio, of any of the four major sports, just because of the speed. You can do, I think, basketball, you know, it's a little bit easier. And Mike, you could speak to this because you've done all of them, so you can tell which one you think, you know, is a little bit easier. But to me, I think hockey is probably the hardest.
Football can be, when you have my horrible math skills, you know, trying to figure out the yardage and then write it down, and you're still trying to talk about what happened, and you got a number across the field about 100 yards away.
That makes it a lot harder,
That can make, football can be tough. Softball is probably one of the easiest ones, along with baseball, as long as you have enough foresight of what you can talk about, like some of the baseball games we did. Talk about the NFL draft, talk about the weather, talk about, like, for me personally, you know, the farming season's coming up, the hunting, the turkey season, the whatever. You know, you can incorporate that into a baseball, softball broadcast, and a little bit into basketball and football. Hockey, well, there was a puck, line change, there's a hit at the circle. You don't go on that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's
a
constant, and sometimes less is more, because I have listened to some of the Badgers broadcasts, and I've tried to pull up on series some NHL broadcasts and listen to them on TV before I fall asleep. And boy, sometimes you get less is more with it, and it works. But the one thing you cannot do is go out there and Lou Reed it and just monotone.
It's impossible.
You have to get excited. So I apologize for maybe blowing out speakers here when I yell when there's a goal, but you have to get the excitement in there.
And I think it translates well. It really does.
Got to call a couple football games with Randy Paul and Dave Mueller years ago, and it was one of the things I had to learn right away when I'm trying to count with my toes, and they're like, no, just don't worry about it. Like,
just put your shoe back on, James.
The play that was the first quarter. Like, what are you doing? Like, we've already moved on from that. But I really was trying. I was trying really hard. I'm also bad at math, is my point, Michael. I would say one of the things that I appreciate is the legendary callers in hockey. And maybe more than other sports. Your Vin Scullys, your Bob Uechers, you know, certainly Steve Stone. There's some guys that are great, and you could put them in almost any sport, and they'd probably be good. They stand out, though, and certainly stand out more in baseball than maybe other sports. But, man, the guys in hockey, they're legends. When you know their names forever.
Gary Thorne has always been a favorite of mine. I always thought he was really good.
I believe Butch Agross, I believe he was in there on ESPN, I want to say. Unless I'm getting someone confused in there. But I know he's done a lot of hockey, and I'm like, it's not too bad at that. I mean, he's working for the mothership, so there you have it.
Those are all great names. Doc Emmerich. Doc Emmerich is the greatest. I don't know if you'll ever find a better one than Doc Emmerich. Not only that, but also great at calling the horses, too. Really, Doc Emmerich's really good at that, too. Michael,
I was more into Dr. Demento, but
Good shout out. One of the first radio stations I found radio shows
was Dr. Demento.
Little kid, Dr. Demento blew my mind.
He led some people down radios the road. Man.
That's how I found
how
out.
Dare he?
Doc Severinsen too. You can't go wrong with Doc.
Can't go Doc Gooden. That takes us a different route.
Oh yeah,
Michael. I wanted to also credit you with the work you're doing on the newsletter. Everybody sign up for the WFHR newsletter.
Yeah.
You're going to get insight into Central Wisconsin like no other, including sports and high school coverage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Michael does a great job with that. Michael, don't let him fool you. Smart guy, good writer.
I don't know about that.
I'll say it. Yeah.
Not much, but it's honest work. It's honest work.
There you go.
Be sure to sign up for that. And Michael, have fun tonight. We're looking forward to hearing you in just a little bit here, calling some River Kings hockey.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you want keys to this game or to this two-game series, it's, you know, River Kings are tied for first in the division now. The Express are in third place. They're 2 points behind. Rapids is tied with the Minnesota Mullets, which, you know, it might be a close shave at the end of the season but what's going to happen here is the Express have scored 10 more goals on the season than the River Kings at 88-78. But where the two big differences are is they have, the Express have given up 60-some goals, whereas Rapids has scored, given up 30 some. So that's your tipping point, and the other port, the other stat that goes with it is Rapids is only about 136 or 132 penalty minutes this season. The Northwest Express have over 300. So if Rapids is going to get tested, they are going to put pucks on net. They beat Rapids 6-4 in the first game earlier this year. So Rapids will be tested. Their defense and goaltending will be tested. Rapids is two of the top 20 goalies in the whole USPHL, and we're probably going to see them both tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
If Rapids can use that, if the trends continue and the Express put bodies in the box, Rapids will have to be absolutely sure they go maybe 550% on that power play advantage to try to keep ahead of whatever the Express do, because those Express shooters, they're going to put pucks on net.
All right.
We got to go to break. I'll let the audience look behind the curtain. I didn't ask Michael any of that stuff because I was trying to save his material for the game. He's got plenty of material.
He's good to go. Yeah, he's ready.
I could have asked him. Right. Michael, have a great game tonight, man.
Yep, thank you guys. You have a great weekend. I'll deal with Seth later tonight and tomorrow. And
it's all good.
We'll talk about next week.
All right.
Sounds good. We'll be back after this on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning. No, it's not the morning.
I know, it's not. That was good, though.
I thought I had some fun with this one. It's a Friday. It's our last segment of the week.
Messing with people.
Yeah, I just thought we'd have some fun there. We are here for Playmakers, and we got just a couple of minutes left if you want to call up 715-424-2600. Otherwise, we are got sports on the radio dial all week long. It is a puck weekend.
Yes, all kinds of hockey. My goodness.
We got Wisconsin men's hockey coming up, hosting Minnesota, 6:30, just a half an hour from now. We will have Wisconsin hockey on the radio right here at WFHR. I am wearing my Chelios Badgers jersey to help cheer on the Badgers on Wisconsin.
Oh, man, this is always a good series. It's always one of the best, except for the Wisconsin-UMD series, which is even better.
That's a good one. And I've learned. See, now I don't associate you with the Minnesota
team. Not the Gophers. I'm with the Bulldogs.
He's the Bulldogs. Yep. Yeah. But the Badgers will be taking on Minnesota today and tomorrow night. 6:30 start time tonight, 5:30 start time tomorrow night. Be sure to follow your Badgers and cheer them on. And, of course, you've got the Kings in action tonight on 105.5 WIRI. Our pregame kicks off at 7 o'clock both tonight and tomorrow night, and both nights taking on the Northwest Express. Get to the Southwell County Rec Center if you can.
Make some noise.
Wave to Michael. Show him what home ice advantage is, and help the boys of winter build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. And then on Sunday, we got some basketball for you. Early basketball. I love early morning basketball. 10 a.m. Wisconsin taking on App State. That old rivalry.
Yes.
But it should be a good game.
I love that, yes.
And speaking of the Badgers, they had a nice victory the other night. Badgers 79-67 for Montana State Bobcats. Good flow to the game. Max Klesmet had a nice game there. And you know, a team that's trying to figure itself out. Looks like they're going to be leaning into three-point shooting a little bit.
Okay.
Badgers start out the season so far 2-0.
You mean that thing that makes basketball boring now? This according to Shaq.
Well, you ain't going anywhere.
Probably not.
As long as we're talking schedule real quickly, I did want to mention that tomorrow morning we kick things off with our weekend scheduling with the Sunshine Polka Show with our man Tim Humboldt. One of the greatest shows, if not the greatest show of all time.
Love it.
Check it out every Saturday at 7 o'clock, and you have also got a repeat on Sundays when we don't have sports.
Yep.
That it replays at 1.
1 o'clock, Sundays. Yep.
And then, of course, you have at 8 o'clock, Terry Talks Nutrition with Terry Lemron, brought to us by our wonderful friends, our family, really, over at Family Natural Foods.
Yep.
And 11 a.m., catch Seth with Over the Back Fence.
Yep, I'll be here taking your phone calls. Make sure you call in, everybody. Otherwise, I get lonely.
I thought for a second you were going to say taking your orders. Over the Back Fence is a wonderful show, but we want more of your audience participation, if you will.
It's actually essential to that show, as a matter of fact. We need it.
Please spread the word about the show and call up to the show and bring us your items you're looking for and items you want to sell. Then on Sunday night, man, we got you covered.
Yep.
Director's Cut kicks off at 5 o'clock, and this week got a really special episode, Seth.
We do. We're talking a little bit about the show happening happening next weekend, the Director Showcase Hate Mail. James and myself and Beth, the three people involved in the show, had a little discussion about it, why we wanted to do it and what we're looking forward to. It was a lot of fun. And then we had some fun with some Disney characters as well.
Yeah. So be sure to get your tickets for Hate Mail. We'll meet you at the Lewis Canton Studio Theater.
That's correct, yes.
Over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater at the Centralia Center this Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th.
Yes. You know it.
Looking forward to it, everybody. It's going to be a really fun show. After that, you've got Seth Faces Music, 6 to 8 tonight.
We're going to do a little sunshine.
Oh, right, so I was hoping you would.
It's old school, but it's a good show. So, yeah, we're going with the sun. We're going with the sun.
I mentioned it to my dad. He was really excited. And 8 to 9, Unlabeled, got a great one for you. I will let you guys know that I have the next three episodes written. Just got to record them.
There you go, which is great.
This is what happens when you don't sleep at night.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Get sleep, everybody.
Otherwise, you'll just do radio shows if you don't sleep.
That's what happens. Yeah. But we've got some fun ones lined up for you, including a hard rock one lined up and a couple of hodgepodge ones. Looking at the NFL and college football schedule as we like to wrap up the show.
Okay.
A little bit of a rough week. Not a ton of big games. Michael and I touched on this a little bit on Wednesday. Seth, have you had a chance to look at the schedule at all?
I have not, actually.
So you got number two, Georgia taking on number 16, Ole Miss. That's a pretty good
one. That should be a good one, yeah.
Michael liked the number three, Ohio State at Purdue. They're unranked. Florida and Texas, that can be a good one. Miami and Georgia Tech can be a good one as well.
Yep.
Indiana and Michigan is a big one. That's a big one.
Yes.
Michigan ain't that good this year, but it still means something if Indiana beats them.
The whole 10-win season thing, because Indiana's never done it before, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, who knows?
I'm enjoying it.
Anytime a team like that comes out of nowhere, basically, I love it. I think it's great.
Number 14, LSU taking on number 11, Alabama is also good, and Nevada taking on number 12, Boise State.
Who's Florida State losing to this week?
Notre Dame is ranked 10th, and I hope they lose. But I always hope they lose. That's just a hater in me.
Oh, but
it's Florida my one State. Hatership. Oh. I don't have any hatership except that one team. NFL schedule, really just some rough games out there. Denver and Kansas City could be a good one.
Actually, real quick, I know we got to get out of here. That could be the game. For some reason, I got a feeling because Denver's defense is really good. And I don't know. I know Denver's offense isn't great, but... Oh, I don't know. I just got a feeling, man. This could be the first loss for Kansas City.
Detroit and Houston could be a great one as well. Looking forward to seeing that. And looking forward to talking with all of you next week. Thanks so much for joining us, Seth. Great show.
Yes. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you to Michael. Join Michael and Seth for River Kings action over on 105.5 WYRI. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...